Last month, Atlanta Mayor Kasim Reed announced 850 city employees will get a raise to a $15 minimum wage. That is twice the federal minimum and almost three times Georgia's minimum. With me now is Christy Offit. She is employment litigator for the legal firm Ogletree Deacons in Atlanta. Hi, Christy.
Good morning.
And by phone, we have Tom Smith, assistant professor of finance at Emory University. Hi, Tom.
Hello there.
Tom, let me start with you because we get conflicting evidence on this question of what effect the minimum raising a minimum wage has on the economy. I saw that there have been a number of studies of this. There was a very intensive one from the Institute for Research on Labor and Employment at Berkeley that showed really no adverse effects nationwide from higher minimum wages. But why can't we get a real answer to that question?
Well, part of it has to do with what petri dish you happen to be looking at when you're, you know, asking the question, what is the impact of a higher minimum wage? If you're asking, how does this impact some convenience store outside of Wichita, Kansas, which, you know, the prevailing wage might be something like, you know, $7 or $8 versus how does it impact, a convenience store owner in downtown Los Angeles? And, the prevailing wage might be something like $14 or $15. And so there's no one size fits all when it comes to markets like these.
Well, let's hear actually from an economist, Douglas Holtz Eithken. He's breaking down what he thinks are the pros and cons of a minimum wage. Although, again, with every time I hear an economist, there are people that are going to disagree. Here's that thing from Douglas Holtz Eithken.
There are going to be some people who get a raise, and that's the good news part of this. The bad news is there is no new money to pay someone $15 an hour, and so the money has to come from somewhere. And one of the places it will come from is from those people who would otherwise have gotten hired and won't now. And it seems odd to me that it would take money from someone who hasn't got a job to give it to someone who has a job.
Christy, what do you make of that, this idea that you're taking money from somebody who already has a job and giving it to someone who the other way around, taking from somebody who doesn't have a job, and then you're giving a raise to someone who already does.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I agree with that analysis. It seems like kind of a simplistic way to put it. And again, I agree with Tom. It just depends on what region you're looking at and kind of what petri dish you're analyzing at the time. So I think the impact certainly varies from depending on the industry that you're looking at and depending on the city that you're looking at the time. So I like take the restaurant industry, for example. Much was made, I think, over like San Francisco and restaurants closing, that kind of thing, because of an increased minimum wage there. Some restaurants, just depending on how good they were performing before, were able to implement maybe like a service fee or something and pass that cost on to their customers or increase prices or that kind of thing. That's not necessarily taking money away from people without jobs.
It's just reallocating
making
your meal cost more.
Exactly.
So then what effect do you think this might have on a city government? Because at this point, we're only talking about city workers.
Yeah, I think the impact, from my perspective, the impact is much more limited since we're only talking about city workers. So the city certainly is aware of its own budget and what it can afford to do and not to do. So that's very different from a city who's imposing it citywide when you don't know what kind of budgets other companies have with their size and how able they are to implement the increase. The city knows, you know, what its budget will be over the next 2 years.
Let's hear from Georgia Senator Denzella James. She has actually pushed bills in the past, in the future, to increase the state's minimum wage overall, not just this one in Atlanta.
$5.15, that's ridiculously low. It's shameful. And I can't imagine how someone working on a minimum wage could even sustain themselves and take care of themselves. They definitely couldn't feed a family.
This can be confusing, Tom. There is nobody in Georgia who's making a minimum wage of $5.15, even though that's the state's minimum wage, right?
That's right. I mean, so lots of states have their own minimum wage. If the state's minimum wage falls below that that is mandated by the federal level, then the state falls into the federal minimum wage category. And so there is a general misperception. There are some jobs where people are paid a salary, a wage below the minimum wage, but like service workers, waiters and waitresses, if you will. But because they
get less because they're supposed to be including tips is their income.
That's exactly right. And so then the Fair Labor Standards Act says that you have to show that the person generates a wage per hour more than at least the minimum wage if you're going to pay them a base salary plus tips. Otherwise, you've got to increase their base pay.
Although, again, that becomes problematic. And if you've ever worked as a waiter or waitress, we'd love to hear from you on this issue. Frankly, if you've ever worked for a minimum wage, we would love to hear from you as well. And let us know what you think about raising the minimum wage or not. You know how to reach us. I'm speaking with Emory University Finance Professor Tom Smith and Atlanta employment litigator Christy Offit. So what if we're only talking, Christy, about a limited number of employees that work for the city, is this kind of, I mean, except for the people who are getting a raise, congratulations to them, is this sort of an empty gesture when it comes to any changes it might spur in the state?
And I wouldn't necessarily characterize it as being empty. So it's great for the employees who are getting a raise.
Yes.
It's also wonderful for the city, who could probably attract better and more productive talent since they're paying higher wages now. So that's also very good for the city of Atlanta. It may kind of pave the way for future moves. I think there are certainly activists in the state who are pushing for a living wage. And the city is certainly setting an example of how it could be implemented and gradually over a period of time.
So, Tom, let's talk about the phrase that Christy just used, which is living wage, which has come up quite a bit in politics. It became a talking point during the race for Congress in the 6th District. What does it mean, a living wage versus a minimum wage?
Well, I mean, there's no specific definition of living wage, but I think that what you want to have is people who can earn a wage such that they can actually go about and do their daily business. I mean, if you're not earning enough money so that you can have a roof over your head, so you can provide good food and clothes and all the necessities, then you certainly aren't really making enough to go about living. And so, I think one of the things that people point out is that people working at, these big box stores, they don't earn enough to actually shop at the big box stores. Like, that's a really nice sound bite in order to suggest that we should be increasing the wage. I think that you have to also look at these in different markets. And so, the wage that you might need in New York City to live and the wage that you might need in Chicago versus something outside of New York City, right, or outside of Chicago, like Palatine, Illinois, if you will, right? I mean, there are different wages that are necessary in different places, and this is also why you see cities like Los Angeles that have, these $15 minimum wage laws that are put in place, because people need a higher amount of money to actually go about living.
And we have a tweet from Clarkston Mayor Ted Terry, who says, "The city of Clarkston raised the wage to $15 an hour minimum 1 year ago this month. We've had no problem attracting and retaining quality workers." But Christy, what is our legal right to a living wage? Is there one, as opposed to a minimum wage? That makes sense to me. But what we're really talking about is, if I'm working full time on a minimum wage, I'm I think below the poverty line, especially if I have a family. So do I have a right to a living wage?
Technically, no. I think the only right, especially residents of Georgia, where there is no separate wage and hour law, the only law that we have is the Fair Labor Standards Act law, which currently is $7.25 an hour. It's the only thing that people are legally entitled to. And I think a lot of activists point to the definition of the minimum wage there, and that I think it was to set a minimum wage for a minimum living standard for people was the original intent. But the minimum wage, the federal minimum wage, arguably has not kept up with the rate of inflation, and the purchasing power is certainly far less than it was when the law was originally implemented. I believe I've read some statistics where it was at its height in 1968. That's when it had the most purchasing power for anyone.
Yeah, I think actually that's quite true. So, Tom, what do you want to see? I mean, as a finance professor, what questions might be answered for you by watching what happens in the city of Atlanta?
So I'm also a labor economist, and so when you're playing this this clip from this other economist, I'm likely to say things that people are going to disagree with, or even my colleagues.
You economists, you like to argue.
So here's what I'd like to see. I mean, I'd like to see, when people are combating the idea of generating putting a higher minimum wage in place. You said that there was conflicting evidence. There's actually not that much conflicting evidence. There's not a whole lot of evidence that suggests that these higher wages actually either prevent people from being employed or have a downward drag on economics.
Wait, pause for just one second, Tom, and I will play you someone a professor at the University of Washington named Mark Long, who I guess if he were here, he would argue with you.
I'm sure he would. He's probably an economist.
If you raise the minimum wage, you are making it more expensive for employers to hire these workers. When Seattle increased its minimum wage to $13 an hour, we are finding evidence that there was a reduction in hours worked by low-wage employees, and the reduction in hours worked by low-wage employees was sufficiently great that it offset the increase in their hourly wages.
So that's what I mean when I say this can be confusing for a non-economist.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, so I haven't seen the study, and I'll reach out to this economist in the coming days. Here's the other thing that often comes into play. I mean, I work with a company that employs a lot of minimum wage employees in the fast food industry, and here's what he has said: is that when I pay my workers a higher wage, they work harder for me. They show up to work on time. They're more productive. And he may say, okay, I'm going to drop your hours from, 35 to 32, right? But what's happening is he's generating more profit, which gives him the ability to hire more workers, and it might be in a different location, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's like, okay, this store might have its workers moving from 35 to 32 hours, but then he just hired 6 more people in a store down the street. I mean, it's who's to say that the second scenario isn't actually preferred?
So, Christy, we only have about a minute left, but on balance, is this a good move, do you think, for the city of Atlanta and its workers?
I do. I think it's a positive move. I think it's certainly a step in the right direction. Should there be any further or more widespread changes in Georgia, I think from my perspective and from those of our clients, we'd want to see gradual increases, so not just an overnight jump from the minimum wage to something like $12 or $15, but something gradual that people have time to adjust to.
That is Christy Offit. She's employment litigator for Ogletree Deacons. And you also heard from Tom Smith, who's assistant professor of finance at Emory University. Christy and Tom, thank you both so much.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.